As we make preparations to hear the words of Scripture from Mark's Gospel this morning, if you are able, I would invite you to please stand. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning with verse 9. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "Thou art my beloved Son. With thee I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the words of the Gospel of Mark, for their teaching and claim upon our lives. Now, O God, in these moments that we share together, we pray that you will give us a sense of peace, rest, and comfort from the activities of daily life and living those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For it's in Christ we pray. Amen. Last evening at the Saturday evening service, one of the songs either had a title or a bunch of words to the effect of happy days. And I just kept thinking of old Fonzie in his leather coat. Hey! Yeah, we have images that bring up a bunch of things. Ponies, binder twine, and mini boggins. But how many of you grew up with a big wheel? What, that was the three-wheeled one, right? What was the round one that had two big wheels that you could either go the same direction or opposite? Oh, how many know what I'm talking about? Okay, I'm not crazy. But you know, there was a sit and spin, but that was a little thing you got on and the spun center. But there was another one that had two big wheels. You would sit in between them and you could turn them, or you could make them go opposite and just sit and spin in a circle as well. Nobody remember the name of that one? Huh? Dizzy, yes. How many of you had a Schwinn Stingray with a banana seat? Mm-hmm. How many of you remember sled riding down a hill and you made a ramp and you probably coated it with water like this last week or this week to come, and you and your neighborhood buddies would see who could go the farthest? How many of you on that stingray had something to do with a concrete block and a piece of plywood? Now, my stingray with that banana seat had a bigger back wheel than a front wheel. It did have a handbrake, and you made sure you didn't clamp down on that baby quickly. But it didn't go over the jumps well, so I would use one of my brother's bikes. And we'd go down that same hill we would sled ride in. It was steep enough that you could not put a mower up and down it, a hand mower. You had to go crosswise. It was not a long hill, but it certainly got us going. And we would go over jumps to see who could mark the longest spots and get the highest clearance. How many of you remember either that big well or sled riding or your Stingray bike or whatever it was? And how many of you ended up with a trip to the emergency room and had stitches involved? I've never had stitches for any of those reasons. The only time I had them was for wisdom teeth. Both our kids have made trips to the ER for lacerations under here. One was a biking accident, and one was climbing the shower curtain to get a bottle of soap. Don't ask me why she did that. I won't mention her name, but you can figure out who she was. Still at home. Last night, Abby said, "I get $20, Dad, because you mentioned my name." I said, "No, we're all talking about that tonight and this morning." But probably we've all done and had some of those moments when we did some of those Evel Knievel-type trips that ended up in a trip to the emergency room. How many of you, especially those over the age of 50, remember wearing a helmet? That's probably what I figured. Somebody last evening said, "You know, we get all our kids now helmeted up with knee pads and elbow pads and wrist pads, and they're the ones that we have to take to the ER." He said, "Me growing up without any of that, I never had a problem. I downhill skied a lot when I was in high school, and we'd take family vacations and go skiing. And yes, my dad and the brothers and I, we would race from the top of the hill to the bottom of the hill. And some of those trips, it would take you an hour to come down the hill. It was so long when we were in upstate New York. Oh, one point my dad said, "Well, guys, we don't fall anymore." And I'm thinking, "Yes, we do." He says, "No, we crash." Oh, okay, that would be true. And yet, well, that might explain some, because we never wore helmets. But you go now into the helmet industry, and there are helmets for skiers and snowboarders and biking helmets and motorcycle helmets, and some of them are rather colorful, or they have other appendages attached to them. I'm told you can even get helmets now where you can play your iPods through them. I'm told potentially there are helmets you can even talk on your cell phone while you're skiing, and that thought scares me. That might even be more dangerous than talking on the cell phone in the car. Helmets now are being worn by bull riders, by whitewater rafters, by skydiving. I'm not quite sure why you wear a helmet skydiving. If you're going to fall hard enough that you're going to hurt your head, you're probably going to injure your whole body and die. When my dad jumped out of the plane this summer, Abigail said, "Well, Pa, you know, you can jump out of an airplane without a parachute. You only do it once, but you can do it." He incidentally is going to do it again when he turns 80 in June. But I'm even told that now they're developing helmets potentially for kids in the car. I don't know whether that has anything to do with our driving skills or not. The lesson, though, in wearing a helmet is no substitute for actually using the brain it protects. I mean, wearing proper protection to keep your head together and intact and from damage makes sense. But what kind of protection do you use to guard your spirit when tempted to take some ill-advised risk? What kind of holy helmet is best? If you now need an idea for Holy Hat Sunday, Holy Humor Sunday, come up with a holy helmet. The temptation stories in the Gospels give us a clear clue as Jesus venturing out on his own, beginning his 3-year ministry, he heads into the wilderness to engage in some extreme spiritual sports competition with the tempter. Now, in today's reading, the Gospel of Mark, we kind of have the Reader's Digest condensed version of the baptism and temptation of Jesus. Oh, we do get the sense that Jesus is preparing for his mission and ministry on earth, that he's gathering together his thoughts and his spirit, and that they were protected by Almighty God. The passage opens up today with Jesus being baptized in the River Jordan by John. We have to go to some of the other Gospels to know that it's his cousin. A voice from heaven breaks in as Jesus is coming up out of the water, breaking through the sounds of the rushing water. The Spirit descends. "This is my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Well, we know that Almighty God is the one who has given Jesus his identity. He's marking him as someone special, someone who has found divine favor. In a very real sense, Jesus is being equipped and protected with nothing less than the full love of a divine parent. Oh, what a helmet to wear. Statistically, a child who is loved by mom and dad is more likely to take care of himself or herself because their parents' love is so freely expressed to them, and they want to make sure that their actions coincide with the teachings of mom and dad. But as we go out into the world with temptations and potential hazards coming at us from all directions, our first line of defense for us today is to know that God loves us and God cares for us as well. Well, we know in the Scriptures it says God cares for the lilies of the fields and the birds of the air. And how much more then must God care for us, children that God has created? We are God's beloved children because of God's grace and God's forgiveness and God's desire to be in relationship with each and every one of us. And with that knowledge and that experience built into each and every day that we have, we can realize that we have this one, Holy One, walking with us with every step that we take. And so our hearts, our minds, and our spirits can be better protected because we know that God is alongside us. Now, Mark doesn't explain much about the temptations. We just know that Jesus is baptized and he goes into the wilderness for 40 days. We turn to Matthew and Luke and we get more details. And we see that with God's love, that Jesus is able to shift hats, to shift helmets very quickly between the temptations of the tempter. He's standing at the bottom of that jump like a bully, bullying kid. Double dog daring Jesus to do something risky. And for Jesus to use the biblical helmet, he's not willing to bite. Satan says, "Satisfy your hunger and turn these stones into bread." But Jesus puts on the shell of self-denial, recognizing that everything comes from God and that God provides everything that is needed. Then they go to the pinnacle of the temple. "Jump off," says the bully. "Jump off and you'll land unharmed. If you're really so great, God will protect you." But Jesus again tightens on the strap of the helmet of common sense. because Jesus knows that people who have real power and authority, that they don't need to show it off or to use it just to suit their own needs. And then there's that final big one. All the kingdoms. All the kingdoms of the whole world will be yours, says this bully, if you'll only worship me. And Jesus buckles on that helmet of humility and says that God is the only one worth serving and worth worshiping. Knowing who he was, knowing what he was about, knowing what he had to do to accomplish his mission, kept Jesus' mind sharp and guarded, kept his heart protected, not only in the wilderness temptations, but throughout the whole of his ministry on earth as well. And ultimately, even on the cross, when Jesus was challenged, "Hey, if you are the Son of God, come down and show us what a Messiah is really to be like," Jesus didn't even bite on that one. Experiencing God's love, knowing our scriptures, following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ's example in his daily life and living are probably the best ways in our lives for us to be spiritually protected as we move through our days as well. Think of it all as a helmet, as a holy helmet, for all occasions, even if we're just walking around our homes. God is with us. We are never alone. And may we use all that is available to us each and every day that we might be triumphant within God's kingdom on earth. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the good news of the scriptures, for the example, for the lifestyle, for the teachings of Jesus Christ. Oh God, we pray that they might take root and be nestled within our hearts, our minds, and our spirits, and that we might go into the world and be your hands and feet, your ears, your eyes, your voice. For this, O God, we ask and pray in Jesus Christ's holy and precious name. Amen.